If you have a copy of the Word of God with you this afternoon, please turn in the book of Beginnings, the book of Genesis. I want to read two passages of Scripture this morning from Genesis, starting at Genesis chapter 21, and then we're going to cross a few chapters to Genesis chapter 26. So we're starting Genesis chapter 21. We're going to break into that chapter at verse number 25. Genesis chapter 21 and verse number 25. The Word of God says, "And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I wot not who have done this thing. Neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it, but today. And Abram took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abram set seven ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What mean these seven ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, For these seven ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore, he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Pishol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba, and called there in the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistine land many days." Then turn over to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. We're going to break in at Genesis chapter 26 in the verse number 15. The Word of God says in Genesis 26 and verse 15, "For all the wells which his father's servants had digged, in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley, and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Ezek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, For now the Lord have made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and will multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well." We're ending at verse number 25 of chapter number 26. And we know that God will always bless the public reading of his word. Let's just come to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord for his much needed help this Lord's Day afternoon, please. Heavenly Father, In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, once again we approach the mercy seat. We thank thee for all that has went before. We thank thee, though we tried the broken cisterns, thank God what a day it was when Christ came and we drank of the wells of living water. Oh, Father, we thank thee for the hymns that were sang. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the offering brought in for the work of the Lord here. What a privilege, Lord, publicly to read the Word of God, divine truth, God-breathed. And with the Word open and read publicly, we cry now for the help of God, the Holy Spirit, to take the Word and to apply it to every heart. Lord, I cry for help. Empty that thou shouldest fill me. A clean vessel in thine hand, with no power but as thou givest. Graciously with each command, Father, fill me with the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and take the preached word, and Lord, use it for the glory of thy Son. Answer prayer, glorify Christ, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want us this afternoon to glean truth from these two stories that I've read publicly with you. We're back in the book of beginnings. Men and women, there's nothing new under the sun. And I want us to learn valuable lessons from these two passages of Scripture. Now, in a message I've entitled simply, Redigging the Wells, the Need of Today. Redigging the Wells, the Need of Today. I want to show you what's going on in the background. Turn, please, to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. And look what it says in verse number 5. It says in Genesis 21 and verse 5, And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Here's Abraham. God gave him a promise that a promised son would be born. He's 100 years of age. And the promised son is born. And I'm sure Abraham, as he saw his own son, the promised son Isaac, been born, I'm sure he saw Christ's miraculous birth through his own son. For one day the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching, and he was speaking to Jews in John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 56. And he says to these Jews, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and saw it, and was glad. You see, man and woman, he's 100 years of age. But then it tells me in the Word of God in Genesis 25 and verse 7 that Abraham dies and he's 175 years of age. So for 75 years of age, old Abraham had 75 years with his son Isaac. And I can tell you he was well brought up. Abraham was prophet, priest, and king in the home. And would to God, God would raise a generation again of men that were prophet, priest, and kings in their home. You see, look what it says in Genesis chapter 18. Flick back a few chapters. Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 19. God's a speaker and he says, For I know him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. For I know him. Wonder today, and God knows every husband, every father in God's house this afternoon. For I know him. I know that boy in Kilkeel. He's going to command his children. I'll tell you, men and women, years ago in the land, a man had the authority in the home. And then it went from the man to the woman. You know where it's at now? The children. Many homes in Ulster today, and the wee children dictate and rule the home. But God comes and he says of Abraham, I know Abraham. Abraham's going to command his children. And I was thinking, 75 years he had with Isaac, and Isaac's well taught about the wells, and Isaac knows the truth about the wells. But it's very interesting, and don't miss it. The promised son is born. Isaac's born. But we read in our passage this morning, in Genesis 21 and verse 25, and Abraham reproved Abimelech. The promised son's not long born till trouble appears. You put all that together, you think of the greatest son that was ever born, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, when the promised son was born, you think of the conflict that arose after Christ was born, how Herod slew all the children of Bethlehem and all the coast thereof from 2 years on under. I don't know how many times young Isaac was told about the wells. I don't know how many times Abraham told him about the wells and this old ungodly king coming against him. But he was well grounded in truth. And I want to preach a message, as I said, redigging the wells. The need of today. And I want to show you first of all, and the first point's the lengthiest point, so don't panic. The battle for the wells. The battle for the wells. It says in Genesis 21 and verse number 25, and Abraham reproved Abimelech. I'll tell you, here's a man saved. Here's God's voice in the land. And he's not just reproving some man that's walking down the street, a common 5 to 8 man. No, friend. This is an ungodly king. He's a Philistine king. And Abraham comes and he reproves him. And I was thinking, Paul the apostle will write into the church in Ephesus. Paul spoke in Ephesians 5 and 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And sad to say, today in the evangelical church, we seem to be in the wilderness, but there's no voice. John the Baptist was in the wilderness, but he was the voice. And I'll tell you, men and women, it's sad today in the evangelical church that God's servants, some of them's not preaching against sin. Why? Because this very same sin lies at the door of the evangelical church. But I'll tell you, Abraham was one, and he took a king aside and he reproved him for his sin. Reproved him. The battle for the wells. You see, Abraham was one, and God blessed him. God blessed Abraham in the land. Because it tells me in Genesis 26 and verse 5, because that Abraham obeyed my voice. You want to know the blessing of God upon your life? There's only one way to get God's blessing: obedience. Here was a man and he obeyed the voice of God. And then it says, and he kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And the old Philistines, they hated it. Here was Abraham, and the smile of God was upon Abraham's life. And the Philistines knew in the land, God's blessing this man. This man is more cattle. This man is more prosperity than us. Why? God blessed him. And I'll tell you, the Philistines hated it. You think today, in the 1st of July, 2018, you think it's any different? You think they're ungodly this afternoon? You think they've changed?
I'll tell you, the ungodly this afternoon still hit a man with a smile of God on his life. They hit him. But I tell you, Abraham was one. And he had to stand up to the enemy. Child of God, today, as God's asked me in preparation of this word, are you standing up to the enemy? I tell you, not only was Abraham one, and he stood up to the enemy, but he stood against the enemy. You standing against the enemy this afternoon? Abraham was one, and he stood against the enemy. And he stood up to the enemy. I want to tell you, you had to withstand the enemy. Are you withstanding the enemy this afternoon? I think of Daniel down in Babylon. When they're making laws contrary to the God that Daniel served and worshipped. Sound familiar? Sound familiar today in our day and generation? But I tell you, it didn't stop Daniel standing and serving Jehovah in Babylon. He was one that didn't bow and didn't bend, and thank God he was one that prayed and prayed, and God changed it all around for Daniel. You see, man and woman, Abraham's the father of the faithful. You know that down here. But don't forget, we're a part of Abraham's seed because we're part of the seed of faith. And Abraham was one. And he had to withstand. And he had to stand against. And he had to stand up to the enemy. But don't miss it. Our forefathers had to fight for battles which they won. And there's going to be a generation that's going to have to come through, or there's going to need to be a generation now that is going to have to battle and to win the battles that our forefathers won. Because don't miss it. The battle's ongoing. Abraham, he's 175 years when he dies. And guess what happens when he dies? The Philistines come and they fill the wells of water. Look what it says in Genesis 26 and verse number 15. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. You think? For 75 years, Abraham's preserved the well. He's looked after the well. He's disciplined himself to keep the well. And because the well speaks of the word of God, the well of water, and the well speaks of the water of life, he's preserved it. He's looked after it. No wonder the enemy wants to wreck it and stop it and destroy it. But for 75 years, Abraham's looked after it. But Abraham's gone. And I'll tell you, the enemy's relentless. And I don't know how long it took Abraham to be laid down into the coffin and after his funeral. But I'm sure it was old Abimelech. He sent his men out. See the wee wells that Abraham kept so well. Go and fill them up. I will stop this family. We'll stop the blessing of the word. We'll stop the blessing of God upon Abraham's seed. And they come. And they fill them up. I'll tell you this afternoon, man and woman, in our day and generation, the enemy still hates truth. Hates it. You think today, presently, in our current lot, that the enemy hasn't come in like the flood and stop the waters of the book of life? I'll tell you this afternoon, the enemy's relentless. You think of his determination. 75 years, he couldn't let it lie. No. Abraham's gone and he's going to stop it. He's going to stop the water. And the Bible says in Psalm 11 and verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You think there's not a determination in our land by agnostics and by atheists and by scientists who deny the very existence of God, who deny the story of creation, deny the very deity of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ? You not see it today in Ulster? How the enemy's coming in and he hates truth. And he wants the gospel in its effect. He wants to diminish it more and more and more.
You see, not only the destruction or the determination of the enemy, 75 years had gone, and he's come and he's filled the earth. He's filled the well full of earth. Look about the destruction. You see, because he fills it with earth, and it got me thinking, men and women, sitting still about this today. You say, David, what do you mean? Well, notice what he fills it with, earth. And I was thinking of many unsaved men and women attend this church and other churches, and they know their great need for salvation. And sinner, this afternoon, you're condemned already. You mightn't feel it, but God's word declares it. And the wrath of Almighty God is abiding upon you. And yet the devil comes with the earth. And you're taken up with so many earthly things. You're taken up with money. You're taken up with careers. You're taken up with land and power and position. And yet you have no great thought of eternity. And today God could cut you off. And imagine going from the pit, from the pew today to God's pit in hell. And the devil's behind it all, and he takes the earth. And boys, he keeps you to the pleasures of sin. And then this got me thinking. When the devil and his crowd, they used earth to fill up the well, I was thinking, turn please to the book of John. John's Gospel, chapter number 7, please. John's Gospel, chapter 7. As I said before, the well speaks of the Bible, of the water of life, speaks of the precious Word of God, but not only symbolic, the water speaks of the Word of God. Symbolic is the teaching of Scripture, that the water can speak of the Spirit of God. I'm going to show you that now in John chapter 7. In verse 37 it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And I was thinking this afternoon, why are we in our current lot? Why are so many men and women going to hellfire? Because the church has lost Holy Ghost fire. And I was thinking, why are we in our predicament? Because so many of God's people are not battling for the well. Why? Because they're too taken up with earth. Too earth conscious. And not eternity conscious. Remember Paul the Apostle, as he wrote to the church in Colossae. What does Paul come and he exhorts this crowd in Colossae, and he says, set your affection on things above and not things on the earth. You see, men and women, this afternoon, why Paul outprayed us, outpreached us, outlived anyone for Jesus Christ, because he was a man taken up not with earthly things. He was a man taken up by eternity. Are we really eternity conscious? Some of your family members are dying and they're going to hell. Tell me, in a week that's passed, have you shed a tear for their soul? Man, they're going to hell. Have you shed a tear for their soul? And so many of us are taken up with earth and all their things, and we're not taken up by eternity. You know what I like in this story about Isaac? He had enough wisdom and discernment to know there's something not right. Isaac comes and he knows there's something not right. There's not the same pressure of this water from the well. There's not the same power from this water from the well. There's not the same presence from the water from the well. He had enough discernment to know. The Bible tells me in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and 32 regarding the children of Issachar, it says, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. Men that had understanding of the times. Tell me this afternoon in Mourn Free Presbyterian Church, where's the sons of Issachar in this church? Where are you? How late it is in God's clock. Isaac knew there's something wrong with the water. There's no presence. There's no power. There's not the same blessing from the water. Can we not turn it around to spiritual application regarding the evangelical church, regarding our denomination? I remember listening to Harry Ironside. And Ironside said, if there was a time where you knew God's blessing, God's favor, God's smile more on your life than presently, now, Ironside said, you're backslidden. Now tell me, did the Free Presbyterian Church 20, 30, 40 years ago not know more of God's blessing, God's presence, God's power? You answer the questions. As the sword is sharp today, and the Free Presbyterian Church as it used to be, is it as sharp? The Bible tells me in Jeremiah 48 and verse 10, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth his sword from drawing blood. Do you know that the word of God, it pierces? Tell me, is the sword as sharp in our churches today as it once was? I'll tell you, man and woman, it's not. Because the church has got soft in sin. Soft in sin. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, and look what it says in verse 13. Jeremiah 2 and verse 13 says, for my people, I, God's people, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken the water. Look what it says in Jeremiah 2 and verse 32. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Just want to stop there. You and this woman have been to weddings plenty often. You ever see a bride walk up the aisle with no wedding dress on? Doesn't make sense. Of course, a bride tomorrow, she's getting married, she'll not come in with a purr. She'll not come in with anything else but a wedding dress. Can a bride forget her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days. Not hours, not minutes, days. Days without number. Jesus Christ, one day he stood and he asked his disciples, will ye also go away? What was the disciples going away from? What did the others go away from? They went away from the Word, because Christ is the incarnate Word. And Christ just comes and he asks his disciples, will ye also go away? And I was thinking, men and women, I prepared this week, and as God spoke to me in the closet, I was thinking, in our churches, in the Free Presbyterian denomination, tell me, is the gospel as precious as it once was? Well, I do a bit of preaching around the churches. And I can tell you, friend, there's something drastically wrong when you go to certain places and say, I'm only using it as a number to help you think, if there's 100 people out in the morning and a man goes back at night to preach the old evangel, preach the gospel, and there's only 40 there. Is the gospel not as precious in the free church as it used to be? I'll tell you, the Free Presbyterian Church was known for prayer meetings. And I believe I heard a preacher saying it was Mr. Wagner come back, and he had said recently at the start of the year, the prayer meeting minister week of prayer, he says, it's not just as distinct for its prayer meetings now. So many of God's people in that good weather and that big sun's out in the sky and the sun's shining and Sunday school's finished, oh, will not go to mourn Free Presbyterian Church today. Sure, there'll be somebody else there that will take the wains and will go. What does God's people do in the Lord's Day night if they're not in God's house? Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 6 and 16, when your finger's in there, go to Jeremiah 6 and 16. Look what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 6 and 16. He says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Here's what God's people answer was, but they said, we will not walk therein. Jeremiah comes and he speaks to God's people. I remember one day when Christ said, whom the men say ye that I am? Some thought he was Jeremiah. That's how godly Jeremiah was. And Jeremiah comes to God's people and he pleads and he says, get back to the old ways. Get back to days of supplication. Get back to days of praying and fasting. But God's people didn't want it so. And you see, her land is coming down an Ulster of new cart after new cart. Fit for life. Gospel driving. Coaching for Christ. I'll tell you, years ago we didn't need any of it. Because there was separation, there was supplication. I'll tell you, it brought salvation. And Jeremiah just comes and Jeremiah says to the people of God today, turn to the old paths. Turn to the old ways. I'll tell you, men and women, the battle for the wells is real. And the battle, it takes a man far more work. You don't need me to tell you. It takes a man far more work to dig down than to come when it's already been dug and just fill it in. And the battle's real this morning.
And how bad is Ulster going to have to get to have to start to battle? What's it going to take? What's it going to take for the evangelical church to repent of their sin and call upon God like we mean it? What's it going to take? The battle for the well, sackly and quickly, the blessing of the water. You see, don't miss it. Abraham, he digs. He digged a well and he taught his son all about it and the significance of it. And then Isaac, he comes and he redigs. And in verse 19, he finds the springing water, meaning living water, meaning the Word of God. And then it says in verse 20 of Genesis 26, and the herdmen of Gerar did strive of Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours, and he called the name of it. He called the name of the well Esek because they strove with him. And then the next one, it shows contention. And I'll tell you this afternoon, if you want to live for Jesus Christ and you want the wells of living water, what Christ spoke of in John 7, you're going to get contention, sir. They're going to strive with you. They're going to say, who's that old boy at work? There's an odd boy at work. Before he did a wee bit of bread, he would bow his head and call upon God to thank them, thank God for the food. That's an odd boy, that. There's a man that commands his family, a family altar. That's an odd fellow, that. You're going to get contention. You're going to get to work and call sin for what it is. You'll get contention, sir. And they'll strive after you and they'll contend with you. And there'll be hatred. You want to live for Jesus Christ in 2018 in Ulster? You want to be a man of God in Ulster today for Jesus Christ? I'll tell you, you're going to be hated. And there was a day in the Free Presbyterian Church you were hated for being a Free Presbyterian. Not as much hatred now. These older ones used to be spat upon to being a free pea. Not many spitting on us now. Tell you why. There's not as much blessing now. You see, here was the man. And the blessing of the water, the standard had been set. Abraham, he taught his son, and Isaac set the standard. The next generation came through. And the standard set. And he strives and he contends and there's hatred. Ah, but Isaac set the standard. Who's going to set the standard again? Who's going to set the standard again in the Free Presbyterian Church? Walking for God. Walking after the ways of God in holiness and obedience. You see, the standard was set. The separation is seen. Look what it says in verse 22 of Genesis 26. And he removed from thence. Here's a man, Isaac, and the standard set. And the separation is seen. Here's a man living for God among ungodly Philistines. And the separation is seen. Tell me, is separation today as clear as it once was? Is separation today in the Free Presbyterian Church as clear as it once was? I remember as a wee boy, I overheard my mother telling the story, one of those ones you maybe shouldn't have heard. I remember my mum telling somebody else, while I was on the phone or in the house, I can't really remember. But I remember her saying there was a woman one time and she was singing in a choir of a certain church and she had earrings in. And that woman in the Free Presbyterian Church was told that she could not sing in the choir with earrings in. Man, now you couldn't but get singing in unless you had everything painted, unless you had earrings in. Separation. Where is the line of demarcation? You see, the Bible tells me in the book of Zechariah 13 and verse 6, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Speaking of Christ. And my mind was thinking this week as I was in the study. Christ's hands wounded in the house of his friends. Can I tell you this afternoon that Christ today is wounded in the house of his friends because of lack of separation? So many of God's people, they want a wee bit of wine now. So many of God's people, they'll rush home and they'll run and put on the television and watch the World Cup today. So many of God's people, and they say they're against a sodomite agenda, but Monday to Friday they couldn't switch off the soup that promotes it. Separation. Man, I'll tell you, in the summer months where I preach, I'm not saying in Kilkeel, but there's places that you preach, a preacher would need a set of sunglasses on him. Because I'll tell you, woman, the dresses are too short. They're too short. Where are we? I'll tell you where that Christ is. He's wounded in the house of his friends. I was thinking of Isaac. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. Now this is Isaac's father. And I believe Genesis chapter 14 is the five kings versus the four kings. It's the first time war is mentioned. Look what it says in Genesis 14 and 22. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. I want to tell you something, men and women. Abram wasn't running after the sodomite agenda. He wasn't cozying up to him like a certain one was last Thursday night. There was no cozying up. Abraham wanted nothing to do with a sodomite agenda. Separation. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And there's men in that party, and they sit in office in the Free Presbyterian Church. I wonder, will they reprove her? You see, men and women, I'll tell you what happens when separation isn't as strong, compromise comes in. And there's a man in the Bible, and for sake of time, I'm just going to tell you the story quickly. His name is in Nehemiah 3 and verse 1. And he's a man called Eliashib. And he's a high priest. And he helps Nehemiah build the wall. And boys, he's doing a good work with Nehemiah. And Nehemiah knows all about it. And this man, he's behind him. Then there's a great problem. Nehemiah knows, and they're great building work. Here's a man and there's much rubbish. And this man, Eliashib, he's a high priest and he's working for Nehemiah. Aye, but then he gets in the wrong company. For it says in Nehemiah 13 and verse 4, and before this, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of her God, was allied unto Tobiah. The very enemies of God. And he's one that's in office. And he's all working with Nehemiah. And then he comes and he's He's allied onto Tobiah. And if you read on in the last chapter of Nehemiah, his family had married into them. And Nehemiah came and he wanted nothing to do with it.
You see, man and woman, it's simple. The blessing of the water, the standard was set. He battled, there was contention, there was hatred, there was strife. The separation was seen, he removed himself. The success was sure. Why? Because it says in God's word that God made room for us and we shall be fruitful in the land. McShane used to say about a preacher, a minister, he says, a holy minister is an awful weapon in the hand of God. And I'll add a wee bit to it, not thinking that I'm anything like Mary McShane, but I'll tell you, men and women, a holy church is an awful weapon in the hand of God. It's an awful weapon. But we're in a day of compromise. You see, not only the battle for the wells, not only the battle of the wells, the blessing of the water, lastly and very quickly, what about the building of the workman? For it says in Genesis chapter 26, and I hope you notice that just as his father in verse 23, and he went up from thence to Beersheba after Abraham built the well, where did he go to? He went to Beersheba. Like father, like son. And Isaac, after renaming and rebuilding the wells, Isaac comes and he goes to Beersheba. What does he go to do? He goes to call upon the God of heaven. And I'll tell you something, men and women. You'll not lose out by being a separate man. Willie Mullaney, probably my favorite preacher. Willie Mullen was preaching along with Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Martin Lloyd-Jones introduced him not as a Baptist, but he just introduced him as a separatist. And Mullen told Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones after the meeting, I would rather be known as a separatist than a Baptist. Now I can tell you, you want to live separate? You want to live separate for Jesus Christ? There'll be a cost in the world, but there might be a cost in the church. But here was one. And because he was separate, he built an altar just like his father. And the altar speaks of supplication. And I was thinking of Judges chapter 1. When Caleb's daughter, what did she do? She married Othniel. Caleb's daughter, she's just married. And she comes to her daddy and she asks her daddy for a field. And her daddy gives her a field. And then you know girls and you know them well. You know yourselves well. But some of you have daddy around your wee finger and you think, well, if I can get a wee field off daddy, I might be fit to get something else off daddy. And then she comes and she says to her daddy, she says, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland. Give me also the springs of water. She wasn't just content where we failed to set up home with the new husband. She wanted the southland. She wanted the springs of water. Do you want it? Springs of water. I can tell you, he built an altar, it spoke of supplication. Do we want it? Setting ourselves apart, being disciplined to call upon the God of heaven to come, turn the situation around in the church, turn the situation around in our land, turn the situation around in our nation. I'll tell you, man and woman, it'll take dedication. It'll take battling, it'll take digging. Not words you would describe the evangelical church in the 21st century, but it'll take it. Not only the building of the workman, you see, he built an altar. Don't miss it, he pitched a tent. What would the tent mean? Here's a man and he's going down, he's just pitching a tent. You see, he's walking with his God. He's walking in obedience with the God of glory. And he's just pitched a wee tent. You see, you know what Isaac knew, like his father knew? He's not here to stay. This world's not my home. Thank God I'm going a lot higher than down here. And Isaac comes, and you see, by building the altar, it's supplication, but you see, by his pitching of his tent, it's sanctification, because God's working with him, and he's walking with his God. Doesn't it say in Hebrews 11 and verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And Abraham knew his father again, the great champion of faith, because he was one who looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. The problem with the majority of us is this. We're not pitching our tents. Our roots are far too deep into the earth. But here was a man, and he just pitched his tent. And then lastly, what did he do? He builded another well. The servants came and builded a well. You say, David, what does that speak of from the workman? Well, as the altar speaks of supplication, and the tent speaks of sanctification, the well spoke of salvation. Because it says in Isaiah 12 and verse 3, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Remember the woman at the well, that ungodly, wretched woman. And Jesus drew near, and Jesus gave her the drink of everlasting water. The well spoke of salvation. You see, this afternoon, I don't know where you're at in life. I don't know how you think how late it is in God's clock, but I'll tell you it's late. And the day's dark. And it's a desperate day and generation. But you might not do anything with the message. But Revelation 7 and 17 says, for the Lamb which in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. But I tell you, what would it be, child of God, this afternoon, when you stand in the land that's fairer than day, seeing Christ glorified, having a glorified body, and he's leading you to the fountains of living water, how sweet would they be if today you start redigging the wells? Because God is in need of you. And we all need to redig the wells. The battle for the wells. The blessing of the water. And the building of the workman. Redigging the wells, the need of the hour. I trust God will bless his word and write it upon your heart and mine. Let's bow in a word of prayer, please. Our gracious God and loving Father in heaven, in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, we approach thee. We realize, O God, Isaiah said concerning God's people in his day, cry aloud and spare not. And Father, I cry in Jesus' name that thou would raise a generation of preachers again that would cry aloud and spare not. Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, this afternoon that thou would write this word upon my heart and every brother, every sister's heart, that we would redig the wells. Lord, that we'll dig, Father, that which needs digging out. Lord, we'll come to the living waters. And Lord, separation will be seen again. And supplication will be real again. And salvation will be seen in our families and our workplaces again. Father, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. Take us to our homes in safety. And Father, bring us back tonight expecting the gospel to be the power of God unto salvation. Help us to keep thy day in reverence and in holiness. In Jesus' precious name, amen.